10 verses 1 through 5, part 2, if you will. We actually didn't finish anyways, but John 10, 1 through 5, we'll finish and make the implications of this text. But follow along in your text, just these five verses, to be reminded of the truth that is written here regarding this section on the Good Shepherd. Amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out, or when he has put out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Father, we ask that you would write these things upon our heart, that we would be warned of those who are strangers, that we would not be led astray or deceived and cost us dearly. Pray that we would not leave our scroll and have to make a journey back to recover it. And Lord, that we would not lose 3 days in the process. And Lord, we pray that you would identify sheep in this room, and they would be identified as a people who willingly, joyfully, and delightfully listen to your voice and follow you wherever you lead them. They are willing to go. If you lead them to Afghanistan, if you lead them to the Czech Republic, if you lead them to Australia or to Brazil or to southern Peru or to Mexico, wherever you would lead them, to their workplace or to their community, to their local church, wherever you would lead them, these sheep would say, yes, Lord, I shall go. And Lord, they would be glad to obey you in whatever you would lead them to do. So I pray you would do this for the sheep here. And Lord, for some that may be sheep in this room that just don't know it yet, I pray today would be the day they'd hear your voice and they'd throw everything else away and they'd follow Christ. We pray these things by your Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. In regards to the chapter, let me remind you of the Good Shepherd, just in a holistic view with some phrases from the chapter. The shepherd that we are talking about is the door, and he is welcomed by the doorkeeper. He is the shepherd who calls his sheep by name. He is the shepherd who knows his sheep thoroughly. He is the shepherd who leads them out. He is the shepherd who goes ahead of the sheep. And he is recognized and followed by the sheep. They know his voice. He furnishes access to every blessing. He provides life to the abundance. He lays down his life for the sheep. He guides his sheep. And he is gathering also other sheep that shall become part of the one flock that he is building, that he will be the one shepherd over. And also, he is the shepherd who is dearly loved by his Father. As I said last week, you have a very good shepherd. Very good. And the thought just keeps resonating with me as to where we would be without a shepherd. I tried to illustrate that last week, how our lives would unravel and we would be in such disarray. What an advantage, what a privilege, what a grace, what a mercy, what an honor that the shepherd would come in your pen, your sheep pen, and call you by name individually. In the contrast of the blind beggar who has no name, he would call you by name and give attention to you. And then not only to do that, but he leads you out and you're so happy that he's cast his love upon you. You follow him to good food, to good water. And at night when you lay down, you rest in peace. Why? Because He gives His beloved sleep. And when you lay down and rest in peace, you rest in peace. Why? Because your shepherd watches over you while you sleep. What a shepherd. Nobody else will do that for you. Nobody. I remind you of the thesis of this passage, at least the thesis I have given to it. The good shepherd effectively and perfectly knows, calls, leads, provides, protects, and atones for His own sheep. Now, we saw the Old Testament history behind this, and it is very much a lot of material, especially Ezekiel 34. If you don't get all the other passages, you take today on your Sabbath rest and spend time and just read Ezekiel 34 to your family. And it should resonate with the sermon. It all should make sense. And so a great Old Testament history of the shepherd and the sheep. And now Jesus enters the scene saying, let's clear this up. I'm the good shepherd and these are my sheep. And they're the ones who follow me. And so we saw a good shepherd and we also saw the false shepherds in our passage. And now we'll turn our attention to the sheep. That would be us-ins, as they say in Illinois. Or you-ins, however you want to say it. Look at again there, verses 3 through 5. That's where we'll pick up on the sheep. And just look at the text again. The sheep, you'll notice a couple of things about them just from the text and we'll move on. But the sheep hear His voice. So know that this here has a little bit different sense to it than just an audible noise. It has the idea of, oh, you could translate it this way for sure. Listens. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Everybody can hear in the room, but only some listen to what's being said. Sheep are identified as those who listen to what's being communicated. What's the difference between hearing and listening? Hearing, I know what you said. Listening is submitting, following, and obeying what's been communicated. That's a whole different deal. That's what sheep do. And then you'll also see in this passage that it is His own sheep. There's not another group. I know we have a billion different denominations and religious groups and quacks as much as ducks on a pond. I get all of that. But there is only one grouping that is made up in this issue. There's His own sheep. And there are those that are not His sheep. You can look at verse 26. You don't believe because you're not my sheep. So there's sheep and non-sheep, if you will. And then also you will see and take note that there's this willingness to follow. We herd cows and we run them with horses and we crack whips and we force them across the plains to get to a place. But it's different here with this sheep custom. And it is this way in Oriental sheep herding that the shepherd actually went before them and the sheep respond to his voice. And if you find that hard to believe, then you just hadn't met my dog Festus. And so, look, I don't have to put my dog on a leash and I don't have to do all this stuff. If I walk, he's just going to follow. If I say something, he's going to come. That's just the way it works with him. That's the way it works with these sheep in this culture. And they follow. What a picture, not of a shepherd driving and whipping and yelling and making dogs bite them in a sense, but the idea of a shepherd walking in the sheep saying, that's my shepherd. That's my shepherd. That's my shepherd. Wherever he goes, I go. Wherever he stays, I stay. Do you hear some Ruth in this? I'm going with him. My heart is in love with this shepherd. That's the way sheep are. Yeah, I digress, but I go back 20 years and I go back and Tony's over there. Tony knows. And I know in the first year of ministry here, we baptized about 100 people. And I know in that first year, Tony most often went with me Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. You know what we did 4 nights a week? We tried to get people that were baptized to come back to church. We put in all this effort. We're always going, always going. There's always somebody visiting. And it was people that just got baptized. I'm like, and somewhere in that process, I'm like, why is it so hard to keep Christians in church? It was like, this, something is wrong with this picture. And then over the years, as you learn truth, you learn the gospel, and you understand these things, you know what? I love pastoring here now. It's not very difficult to keep you people here. Well, there's a difference between sheep and non-sheep. There's a difference between Christian and non-Christian. And it's like Christians want to be at church. And they love truth. And they love fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's like last Sunday, I kind of wanted to drive some of you out because I wanted to go home. Wednesday night, I went home and left you here. What a privilege. Because there's a joy of being sheep. It's different. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Now, in these verses, they hear the shepherd's voice. Now, let's go back a little bit. But a long time ago, I was in South Texas, and there's a dear friend of mine by the name of Sam Allen. Sam Allen was a cantankerous old cuss, but I loved him dearly. And he was drop-dead funny. And so he drove the worst pickup truck you have ever seen in history. I don't even know how it managed to keep rolling. But he was not about to get another truck. It was not happening. And so one day his dad, his son, decided to buy him a truck. And so he bought him a nice truck. By the way, Ronnie, it was a Dodge that he bought him. And so he buys him this nice little Dodge, 3/4 ton, all this stuff. And I see Sam and I'm like, man, I'm so happy for Sam. Sam has finally got a new truck. He deserves a new truck. And so I was happy. Day two, no more truck. He comes by in this piece of junk truck, fenders falling off, bumpers falling off. All this. I mean, it's just terrible. I'm like, I said, Sam, what are you doing? You got a new truck. Yeah, I'm not driving it no more. Why are you not driving no more? He said, I went out in that field and I honked for my cows and they wouldn't come. They just don't know the truck. And so it's just that simple. You got to have the right truck with the right horn. Sheep hear the voice and they will come. Jesus said this to a crowd, some non-sheep and some sheep. And he said it in Matthew 13:14. He said, in their case, these non-sheep, if you will, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You will indeed hear, you'll hear what's being said, but you'll never understand. That's what he says to a group of people. You'll hear, but you won't comprehend what's being said. And then he turns 2 verses later to his disciples and he says, but blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears, for they hear. The blessing is for the one who hears and understands. Who are they? They are the sheep. They honor the shepherd. And how is it? How can you honor the shepherd? From our text, how do sheep honor the shepherd? Very simple. They follow him. Wherever he goes, wherever he's revealed, wherever he's preached, wherever he's taught, wherever he's on mission, that's where the sheep go. And they honor him because their life is a demonstration that they are fully committed to the shepherd. Because it's the shepherd who has redeemed them. Why? Why do they follow him? It's quite simply because they know his voice. When Jesus preached, when Jesus taught, there was always opposition. You don't have to be a great student of Scripture to know that. When he preached or taught, you get to the end of this passage. I'll tell you what it's going to say. And there was a division among them. There's always this thing going on. And so you're like, why are some opposed and some for? Why are these divisions? Because not everyone is a sheep. But sheep, they know and they hear and they follow. They know the voice of their shepherd. I think about this, and you can relate to this in your own life perhaps. But I think about my journey in Christianity from back when I was younger in my teenage years till now. And I, not being vindictive, I won't even name any of the groupings, but as I think back over the course of time, I've left a lot of places. I've gone through a lot of different ministries. I've been involved in lots of different types of ministries, and I left that one, and I left that one, and I left that one. I was even accused by one of the last ministries that I left. They said, if you don't ever settle down, nothing's ever going to come of your ministry. Well, what they didn't understand is that my shepherd was getting me to where he wanted me to be. And I kept leaving all these places. And now I look back and I don't even think I would visit there if I had a Sunday off. Because why? I kept responding to another voice. And this voice kept leading and kept leading and it kept leading. It was leading me to Him and to truth and to a biblical church and to brothers and sisters in Christ that we could spend the rest of our lives together. And I'm so glad that I couldn't hang on to those other voices. It is the same thing has happened in your lives. Not that we're the epicenter of truth. There's other true churches all over the world. But for whatever reason, God's led you here. And I hope that He's led you here because you're sheep and you hear the shepherd being revealed from the Word week in and week out. Sheep who will not follow the shepherd are more than, if nothing else, they're just charlatans. Charlatans who on the outside look like sheep, but on the inside are ravenous wolves, as Matthew 7:15 says. Now, another interesting thing about sheep, and it's very important, they have no desire and they have no ability. No desire, no will, and no ability. Sheep, no desire and no ability. To do what? To follow false shepherds. They're not even able to do it, and they're not willing to do it. There's something that prevents me from being involved and committed to this ministry, to this church, to this denomination, to this teaching. I just can't buy what you're selling. Church, take the joy out of that. The reason you can't buy what they're selling is because there's one who lives in you who is greater than he that is in the world. And the one who is in you won't allow you to purchase that garbage because he's protecting you. Why are you not involved in false prophecy? Why are you not involved with heretics? Why are you not reading goofy, heretical books? It's because the Spirit of God has prevented you. What a mercy! If not, you'd just soak it all in and be just as deceived as anybody else. But the Spirit of God is kind to you. And the Good Shepherd gave you this Spirit in order to preserve you that you wouldn't get caught up in all the heresy. But don't think you're not in heresy because you're smart. It's not that. It's because you have a Good Shepherd that's prevented you. Have no desire or ability to follow false shepherds. And I will remind you, at least here in the Greek text, that he does use the double negative with the subjunctive, meaning it's the strongest way to negate something in the Greek language. There is no way a sheep can stay under a false teacher continually for the rest of their life. It's impossible. The language here is, there is no way, it's never, 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 no, never, ever, never going to happen. All the English grammar students just died. We used a 15th negative in a row. To illustrate, this is not going to happen. But the reason, get the reason. The shepherd that you have will not allow it. He loves you too much. He's such in relationship with you, he's not going to watch you self-destruct under deception that will ruin your soul, but not only yours, dear sir. If you buy into deception, it's going to ruin your spouse and your kids and your grandkids. It's going to go all the way through. And your shepherd's hanging on to you to preserve your spouse, to preserve your children, and to preserve your grandchildren. Why? Because he loves you. Your shepherd cares for your family. He wants you to get truth. He wants you to know Christ. He wants you to love Him for all that He is. And so He's invested the entirety of who He is in you. Now strap that on your mind. The great God of heaven, the second person of the Godhead, has given every bit of Himself in order to redeem you that you could be a sheep in His family. And He's never lost one. Ever. You don't have a chance. You don't have a prayer of being a lost sheep in the desert somewhere. If you get outside of the herd, He will hunt you down. You can't get away. People say, what kind of follow-up ministry do you have? We have a shepherd at First Baptist Briar. You try wigging out on the sheep and see if your shepherd finds you. He won't let you go. He loves you that much. He won't be content for you to walk away. And not only is it that they won't follow another, but he also gives us another command here. And he says, but they will flee. You see it there in verse 5. It's not only the sheep won't follow, but they actually will flee. They will take an active approach. They'll make a decision of themselves in the environment where they're at. And they'll detect and discern that this is false. They'll detect and discern that this is going astray. And they will make their exit strategy. And they will bail out in pursuit of what? In pursuit of their shepherd. In pursuit of truth. In pursuit of what is right and good from the words of God. And so they will pursue that. Sheep will flee from the voice of strangers. Why? Why will they do that? Well, our text tells us it's because they do not know. They don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. The voice of strangers, what they're preaching and what they're teaching doesn't resonate with my soul. It sounds emotional. It sounds shallow. It seems like they just grabbed a bunch of verses out of a deal and put it in a jar and shook it up and tried to preach something from it. I just don't have any patience for that. You don't know His voice. It won't follow Him. It won't give to a ministry like that. They won't invest in a ministry like that because they want truth to abound. And the rhetorical question, obviously, is what? Do you reject the voice of strangers? It can be as chaotic, you know, as a basketball game, and you get everybody screaming in the stands and everybody running wild on the court, and you've got two coaches. And so one coach is saying full court press, another coach is saying man on man, and then they switch, and this guy's saying zone, this guy's saying 2-3, this guy's saying 1-3-1, this guy's saying fast break. And all these voices are going on everywhere, but you'll notice the teams only respond to the voice of their coach. This coach says full court press, the other team doesn't do full court press, or vice versa. They respond to their own coach. That's what they do. This is what he's saying in our text. Sheep, this is us, we respond to the voice of our shepherd. There's a cacophony of voices in our world. Media, people, everywhere, all this information. But sheep hear a different voice. They submit to a different voice. They obey a different voice. They follow a different one. Why? Because they're sheep. Now, I want to give you some implications of this text, 1 through 5, that may be helpful to some of you. And so I pray that it would be. I think it's four areas of implications. There could be others, but let me do these as maybe a priority. Let me give you some implications for evangelism. And I struggle with this, and some of you have struggled with this. So let me remind you of an implication here. When you're sharing the gospel, so we're taking this text and we're taking the implication from it. You don't have to answer out loud. I'm not trying to get an amen here, but do you believe that sheep respond to the voice of the shepherd? Obviously, the church answer is yes. Okay, well, then don't stress out in evangelism. When sharing the gospel, believe the scriptures. Sheep hear the voice of their shepherd and they will follow. Here's what we say in church. Well, I don't communicate well. I didn't say this greatly. I didn't do this. Look, dear sir, dear ma'am, it's not dependent upon you. You communicate as best you can. We're trusting the Spirit of God to work with sheep to show them the shepherd. And we're trusting Him. Relax a bit. Just talk about Jesus like you love Him and trust the Spirit of God. Do whatever He jolly well wants to do. Sheep will hear through the means of a communicated gospel. They'll hear through the means of a written gospel. John Speed wants to pass out the gospel of John. He puts the word out and somebody buys 1,000 copies to give to our church. We can pass out 1,000 copies of the gospel of John. Just give them out. You say, well, I don't know if it'll work. Do you believe this text or not? So a sheep gets the gospel of John. He don't know he's a sheep. He's never read the Bible. He opens up and he starts reading. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same as in the beginning with God. I think I need God. Hey, this is good. I like this. Just keep reading. It just works like that because sheep respond to the words of the shepherd. Don't get caught in the flesh like I've done so many times and stress yourself out. Evangelism should be a joy. Evangelism should be a joy. Faith should be a stress relief. And responses, we've been inundated with this Southern Baptist teaching. We got to get the numbers. Responses should be left into the hands of the one who knows what he's doing. Let's trust the Spirit of God to work with the message in the lives of sheep. Well, I don't know if it'll work. It's going to work a lot better than if we take over. And it becomes silly real fast. So let's live out Christianity. Let's preach the gospel. Let's pass out tracts. Let's give out the gospel of John. Let's be real Christians in a real world and trust that God will raise some dead people to life. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it complicated. His sheep hear his voice. Let me say a couple of implications about ecclesiology church-wise. Just be reminded, I know that we can't ever fix the word church because everything's called church and most of what's called church is not even a church. I hope we understand that. But there are churches, but there are a lot of them with that name that are not. But this is what we know is that sheep follow the shepherd and sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And that much we know from this text. Let me give you the implication of sheep here. Sheep love to study the shepherd's word. They love to hear the truth. When they have a funeral, they love to hear the word of God. When they get married, they love for the word of God to be preached. When they have a crisis in their family, they love it when somebody shares the word of God with them. When they have a test or a season of walking through darkness, they love it when the word of God is shared with them. Every time in the life of the sheep that they go through something and the word comes to them, they're like, praise be unto the Lord. That's the word I needed. That's the one. That's the one that saved me from calamity. Ecclesiastes 7:13 saved my sanity. You have your verses, and it's because you're sheep, and the verse is what you needed. I don't need your opinion. I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I don't need a pity party. What saith the Lord? That's what the sheep wants to know. Does my shepherd have a word for my situation? As a matter of fact, he does. It's found here, and we share the word. He said, that's what I needed to hear. That's the word I needed. That's the way sheep respond. They love to study the word. They love his word taught. They love his word preached. And earlier, when Jeff stopped playing the guitar, the piano died out, and we're singing that song, sheep love to sing and exalt their Savior. They love it. Lift their voices. It's like there for a moment. It's like I've been saying this phrase. It's like a little taste of heaven. Everything else faded out and everything was captured up in God. And I was singing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm just saying to you, I had joy deep down in my heart. I pray that you sheep know what I'm talking about when I say that. Sheep experience a day in which the good shepherd returns. One day, the flock will be visited again. And our shepherd will come for us personally. And he will gather us unto himself. And we have to grab a hold of that phrase that wherever he is, there we will be forever. And then let me say a couple of words about salvation, soteriology. Sheep will stay in the pen. Sheep will not stay in the pen with a false shepherd. And the good shepherd will lead them out. In our passage, in the Gospel of John, most of the Pharisees in this Gospel, the exception of Nicodemus and however you view his life working out, but most of the Pharisees were false shepherds. And every true sheep in John came out from them. Every one of these dialogues ends up being something with Pharisees and some kind of religious jargon goes on. But you still see a woman at the well leaving out. You still see a man at the pool of Bethesda leaving out. You still see a blind man leaving out. They keep coming out of this Judaism. They keep coming out from under the Pharisees. They say, we're going to unsynagogue you. You do whatever you want. I'm not coming back anyway. You can have your little religious gathering in your synagogue, but I'm going with him. It's just, he's spoken. And then even people that wouldn't respond rightly, even they knew this shepherd. Well, we went to arrest him, but, we didn't arrest him because, you know, we had clubs and swords and all this stuff, and he didn't have anything, but we didn't arrest him. Why not? I mean, nobody talks like him. I mean, you never heard anybody talk like this. This is strange. And so they wouldn't arrest him, but they don't arrest him. They go back and do that. But the sheep hear the difference in the voice, and they follow. It's what they do. Now, this implications may upset you a bit. They upset me because I have friends in these situations, but I have to make the implication of the text. So think for a moment about false religions and false shepherds of our day. How can it be possible for a genuine sheep to stay with a false shepherd? Our text says it can't be done. So this is very concerning for me because our text says they will flee. Not they might flee, some would flee, but every sheep in this text is said to not listen to the voice of the false prophet and to flee from strangers because they don't understand their voice. So here's what happens. This is my theological position here on soteriology. If you're in a Roman Catholic church and you get converted, you're leaving soon. You don't even have to have anybody tell you. It'll work out in time and history. You can't stay there because the whole system is corrupt. So you got Catholicism, you got Mormonism, you got JWism, I'm making up some words, you got Buddhism, you got Muslimism, you got faith healerism, you got all these isms going on, right? But this is what we know about sheep. I'm not saying you can't get converted in the Catholic Church. I'm not saying you can't get converted in Buddhism or in Muslimism or in faith healingism. God can find His sheep wherever He wants to find them. And He can speak to them through His Word. Or my friend Dr. Ted Cable can be laying in a drunken stupor, laying in his own vomit in a bathroom, and the shepherd pursues him and reminds him of a sign on the side of the road that says, Jesus saves, and he pulls him out of his drug, drunkenness stoop there and brings him to be a professor at the seminary who invested in my life. It don't matter where you're at. What I'm saying from the text is that when God calls a sheep, they will come out. And He will lead them out, and He will lead them to good food. He will lead them to good drink, and they will be refreshed with Him. The Spirit of God dwelling in a genuine believer will not allow the sheep to reside. It will not happen. And then lastly, and this concludes our sermon this morning, hopefully these things will encourage you somewhat, but I want to make a couple of implications theologically this morning. Theologically, these are reminders. This is not earth-shattering news, but it's reminders from my text. Number one, contrary to the entire world, there is only one shepherd. There's only one. So take out all the confusion. You can fight with all the religions. You can do all you want to do. But biblically speaking, theologically speaking, there is only one shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the substitute for sinners. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. On the third day, He rose from the dead. He ascended back to glory. And one day, He's going to return to gather His sheep unto Himself. There's only one shepherd. There is only one who laid down His life for the sheep. Only one. And you're either in relation with Him or you are not. If you're waiting for another to come, or you're looking for one that already came besides Him, you're wasting the entirety of your life, and you're going to pay for it in hell for all of eternity. There's one shepherd. There is no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Theologically, second, there is only one flock. You got Baptists, you got Church of Christ, you got Assemblies, you got Charismatic, you got New Age, you got Third Wave, you got all, you got everything. You got denominationalism, you got religious things everywhere. I get it. You got 17 billion different types of Baptist church. Used to, you could say you was Baptist and people knew. I don't even know what Baptist means half the time anymore because there's just so much mixed together. Everybody's different. In all of that, do you believe this? There's only one flock. Now, I don't know what label you want to put on it. Let's stay with the biblical label this morning. There's one flock and they have one shepherd. You're either in this flock under this shepherd or you're out of the flock and you're following another voice that's strange. Just simplify it down. So I'm a sheep or I'm not a sheep. I have a good shepherd or I have a false shepherd. Thirdly, there is a very clear distinction between sheep and non-sheep. You know the passage we're working on. Glance across the page to verse 26. And he says this to some of the group that are listening. In verse 26, you do not believe. Why do they not believe? And he says, Jesus says, because you are not among my sheep. That's why. You say, I don't like it. Well, I don't know what to do about it. That's what he said. These are the words of Christ. And so you're either sheep or you don't believe because you're not sheep. You say, well, I kind of want to be a sheep. Then maybe you are sheep. Right? Because if you're not a sheep and you're never going to become a sheep, you have no desire to be a sheep. But if there's some kind of desire there, maybe the Spirit of God's starting to work on you and you're like, look, I want to be in the flock. I want to be baptized. I want to be a part of the church. I love the truth. I love Jesus. Good. Then confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And then fourthly, there should be a continuation. Now, I'm backing up in my text, but there should be a continuation of the role of the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper, I said, at least my position was, he's John the Baptist. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He, the one who's coming after me, is greater than me. I'm not even worthy to undo his shoe sandals. Here he is. And so we have a gatekeeper who announces the shepherd who's coming into the pen to get the sheep to lead them out. Let's just be gatekeepers. Let's just announce the shepherd has come and let's just point sheep to the shepherd. Let that role continue, that we would point and identify Christ as the shepherd. Lastly, there is a rich history in the Old Testament about the shepherd and the sheep. The unity of the Word of God, contrary to Andy Stanley, the unity in the Word of God, read Ezekiel 34 and read John 10. And it is absolute clarity of a good shepherd being revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And he is the good shepherd. It's great unity. Everything Ezekiel said is perfectly fulfilled in this one. Well, I encourage you with these words today. And I conclude by saying, if you have yet to repent and to believe and to follow through in baptism, you're still outside the flock. And it's time to stop playing games, stop playing religion, and just because you hang out in these walls acting like you're in. You're not in unless you repent and believe in Christ and follow through in baptism and follow Him. You have to follow Him. And He says you must repent and be baptized. Sheep say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, you said be baptized, I'll be baptized. I'm scared to death and I don't want to stand before the crowd, but you said be baptized and sign me up because you're my shepherd. And so you respond that way and say, today's the day. I want to be, Pastor, I want to talk to you about baptism.